Please be seated. Throughout the Gospels, we hear Jesus telling parables. Jesus tells parables to teach about God and about the kingdom of God. Sometimes the meaning of parables can be obscure to us, maybe leave us wondering, what is Jesus telling us? But I think that in today's gospel, we have one parable that we can understand. Maybe we can even relate to it in some way, perhaps identifying with a particular character. It's a story of a father and two sons. And one son makes, shall we say, questionable choices. The other son resents this behavior. And there's the father in the middle showing mercy and showing forgiveness. This passage is from a section of Luke's gospel where Jesus tells parables that illustrate God's response to a sinner who repents and returns to God. As we heard in our gospel, this section opens with the Pharisees and the scribes criticizing Jesus because he welcomes and eats with sinners. Jesus says he can't help but do that. He can't help but welcome the lost and the outcast because it is God's nature to seek the forgotten, the excluded, the lost. And so to illustrate this, Jesus tells three parables. We get to hear only one today, but there are three. The first, you may know, it's the parable of the lost sheep, in which there are 100 sheep, there is a shepherd, and one sheep is lost. And what's that shepherd do? Leaves the 99 on their own to go look for the one. Just as God searches for the lost sinner. The second parable is the parable of the lost coin. A widow has 10 silver coins and she loses one. So she lights a lamp, she sweeps her house. She searches until she finds that coin. And when she does, she throws a party. She invites her friends to join her in rejoicing. And the story ends with this beautiful sentence, "Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then today we hear the third of these three parables. And as I say, it's likely the one we relate to the most. But its point is also to tell us how God reacts when a sinner repents and returns. The father has these two sons in this parable, and the younger wants to leave. He wants to leave his family and set out on his own. And so he asks his father for his inheritance. Mind you, while the father is still living. This should be deeply offensive to the father. Certainly would have been likely offensive to those hearing this story. Asking for his inheritance early is an insult of his father, especially according to first century behavior. Additionally, in the time of Jesus, most people were farmers, and so land is essential for economic well-being. Selling land could jeopardize a family's economic security. And not only is land needed for farming, but land is understood as a gift from God. So selling it could also be a betrayal of God's generosity. And so the father should really be insulted by the younger son's request. But he is not. He gives his son the inheritance and lets the son go off and make his choices. And we hear what happens. The younger son goes off to a foreign land and there's a famine. And the son has squandered everything he had. Everything that his father gave him. And so he is in need, and he finds work as a swineherd. And as someone said in discussion group this morning, he has hit the bottom. He has squandered his inheritance, he is working for a Gentile, and he is tending animals that are considered by the law to be unclean. The son realizes that his father's hired hands are better off than he is. And then in a phrase that I just so appreciate, Luke tells us that the son comes to himself. He has this awareness. He understands he is lost. And so he decides he's going to set off for home and begins rehearsing a speech of repentance that he will say to his father and even say, just make me one of your slaves. But things don't happen that way. Before he arrives home, before he can utter his full speech, his father, who is watching, sees him coming. And his father runs to meet him. His father has been waiting for his return. His father is excited, knows joy that his son is coming home. And again, this father is not behaving as you'd expect, as his culture would suggest. For this patriarch of a first century family, running out to meet his son is not standard behavior. Especially after what the son has done, the ways the son has insulted his father. The father should punish the son. But he doesn't. Instead, he celebrates. He kisses his son, he clothes him in the best robe, a ring, and throws a banquet. The father rejoices. He doesn't offer punishment. He doesn't seek restitution. He does not act as a father who has been humiliated and shamed by his son. In telling this parable, Jesus offers the story of a son who is selfish and insults his father, who passes time in self-indulgent behavior while squandering his family's resources. The son has turned his back on his religious tradition. He really is the kind of son that a father could be ashamed of. But not this father. This father does not act as someone of his time was expected to act. He is not insulted by the son. He doesn't seek restitution for what he is owed. Instead, he welcomes the son home without question and with extravagant rejoicing and great abundance. At the heart of this parable, there is extravagant grace, even scandalous grace. Grace that defies earthly conventions and rules. This is love that is surprising because it is so different from what we see in the world. This grace wells up into great joy, a joy that is expressed in abundance. Jesus is teaching that when a sinner repents and returns, God rejoices with a deep and abundant joy. God welcomes a sinner home to the feast of rejoicing, to abundant food. And before returning home, God is waiting. God stands watching, hoping, expecting the sinner's return. And then when sees the sinner coming, running to embrace and kiss the one who is coming home. And God offers the returned sinner mercy and forgiveness. This section of Luke's gospel shows us how God searches for the lost, just like that shepherd goes after one sheep, just like the woman searches for that one silver coin, just like the father hoping for the son's return. God rejoices when what is lost is found. God runs out to meet us in the person of Jesus, the one who enters human existence, coming right to where we are to seek out the lost, to lead us home. This extravagant love and grace of God is good news for us, for we are all sinners. We all stray from God. Yet it can be difficult to accept this generous forgiveness and compassion of God. It can be difficult for us sometimes, I think, when we see people committing what we consider great atrocities, maybe even evil deeds. How can God forgive them? Our sense of earthly justice tells us there should be punishment. People need to pay for the wrongs they commit. And perhaps hidden in that is the assumption we are more righteous, we don't do something so awful. We are not as great a sinner as that person that we consider guilty, who should get what they deserve. We see this in the older son in today's parable. He remains at home, faithfully doing what his father asks. He toils, but he does not feel appreciated. He resents the reception his father gives to his younger brother, a brother he considers irresponsible. And so he stays outside the feast the father throws and does not go in to celebrate with his returned brother. The parable ends there. We never know what happens. Jesus does not tell us if the older son ever lets go of his anger, of his resentment, if he joins the banquet and celebrates with his father and brother. One commentary on this passage suggests that Jesus intentionally leaves this unresolved, leaves us with the question, will the Pharisees and the scribes join Jesus in welcoming and eating with sinners? Maybe Jesus leaves you and me with the question, will we join Jesus in welcoming the least, the forgotten, the excluded, and the lost? This parable teaches us much about God through the actions of the Father. The Father does not act from hurt, from a sense of earthly justice. He forgives the younger son. He welcomes him home with an extravagant feast. The Father pleads with the other son to forgive his brother, asking him to trust that his father loves him and appreciates him, asking the son to let go of his resentment and enter into the joy of the banquet hall to celebrate his brother's return. In Jesus, God seeks us out. God searches for us. God longs for us. God hopes for our return. And when we do, God rejoices greatly that we have turned back. This is good news for our Lenten journey. In fact, this is good news for our lives. God calls us to conversion of heart and will, to turn back to God. Just as God looks for us, longs for our return, and welcomes us with mercy, with compassion, with love, and with great rejoicing. Jesus reminds us this day that all people are invited to the banquet, to that banquet where there is much feasting and there is great rejoicing over the lost who is found, the one who is dead and now lives. May we rejoice in this good news, and may we accept the invitation of Jesus to always welcome the forgotten, the excluded, and the lost in Jesus' name, just as Jesus always welcomes us. Amen.